lost some good friends along life's way. Some loved ones departed. I'll see them someday, but thank God I didn't lose everything. I've lost faith in people who said they'd care. In the time of my crisis, they were never there. But in my disappointment, in my season of pain, one thing never wavered, one thing never changed. I never lost my hope. Ooh, I never lost my joy. Struggle.
put away spiritual childish things. We continue to become younger children. As we get closer to God, we begin to see how short we are compared to Him. And this is the thing. You know, I remember when I would get hurt and, you know, just it could be anything. I just want to cry. Whether I'm in daycare somewhere, I'll just start screaming, I want my mommy. I want to go home. I want to go home. And I'll just keep on crying until I felt like my mom was coming closer. Even though I knew maybe she, it was probably 2 hours later that she was going to come, I would still cry just to comfort myself, feeling that my cries was going to bring her sooner. Eventually, if I cried loud enough, they may call my mom and tell them, hey, your son is acting up. Come get him. And you know, in another sense, we are supposed to be the same way when it comes to God. See, when the things in life begin to crowd and just knock us down and make us cry, we're supposed to cry to our Father and say, I want to go home. I want my daddy. I want him to come back so soon. Because this world is not our home. We're looking to another world that is beyond what we can actually see. Now, the Bible tells us this. There's a reason why we cry. If we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says this. I'm going to jump right into it. Ecclesiastes is after Proverbs. Proverbs is after Psalms. The number 3 is after 2. It says this, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it says this in verse 11. It says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put the world in their hearts, except that no one, so that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. And in, also in the New King James Version, actually, it says that He has put eternity in their hearts. Now, what that basically means is that God, He makes everything beautiful in His time. So you can see, you can look at a flower. Over time, it's going to bloom, and it's going to spread out and just give all this burst of color and decoration to our sight. And it's time. We wait for a sunset, and we see the array of colors throughout the horizon. It's beautiful in its time. And it's so deep. If you were to look in all the beautiful things in life, no matter how far deep you go into it, it keeps on going and going and going. So you start off from the smallest atom and go deep into that. You find that there's like there seems to be like an infinite just amount of deepness into that. And if you had to go further than that, just go to the quartz and all these different just string theories, you'll realize that the rabbit hole goes deeper and deeper and deeper. So then let's say you zoom out and look across the stars, you see the sunset, go past the sun, you see all these other nebulas, and then go past that, you zoom out, and then you see all these galaxy clusters, and then on top of that, you see these webs of galaxies and clusters of clusters of clusters, and then you see this huge ball of galaxies just kind of form up, and then you see another amount of galaxies, and it just seems to go on and on and on. Then you look into our own hearts, and it just seems like there's like this eternity in our hearts where we want to live forever. So whenever we see somebody in the casket, there's something inside our bodies that just says, there's something wrong with this. We're not supposed to die. Whenever we see someone just on the floor bleeding to death, our bodies begin to react like, no, there's something wrong with that. When we start to see our parents who lived a long life, maybe 100 years, 120 years, but it seems like, no, I wanted them to live forever. It's because God had put eternity in our hearts. We were originally made to live forever. But because of sin, we die. And you know, it's a sad thing that we die, but Jesus, He gave us this promise when we see all these bad things happen. Jesus said this to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. In John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, you believe also in God. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it was not so, I would have told you. Therefore, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return again so that where I am, you may be there also. So that promise, we are supposed to hold on to it because Jesus is coming. Now, if you notice, you know, on the news, things don't seem stable anymore. The earth don't seem stable anymore. The weather doesn't seem stable anymore. It seems like it's going out of control. And if Jesus doesn't come, the world is going to end by itself. And it doesn't take, it's because of God's grace that we're still here in California with the buildings and everything intact. See, if we don't, in a matter of like 5 or 7 years, it seems like the glaciers are just going to melt and we're all going to be underwater soon. It just seems that way. And if we realize that, we notice something. Jesus says, when you see these things, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming. And you know, on top of that, when you look at the news and you think about all the suffering that's going on, like, I mean, the sex trafficking, I mean, women and children are being just kidnapped and being forced into sex slavery. All the suffering that's going on all around the world. ISIS is just cutting people's heads off. I mean, just all this destruction and just famine. It would make you want to end this world already. And you know, Jesus, he sees all that because he's God. He hears all these thoughts. He feels all the pain. He knows everything that's going on. And the Bible says this in Psalms 50. It's a very cool verse right here. Psalms 50, verse 1. Psalms 50, verse 1. And it says, the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine. Then it says, our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous around him. So I want you to get this image. God is sitting on his throne, and he is the perfection of beauty. Now, I wish I could do better on this set, but this will never come near. Not even one angel. This can't even come near an angel. But just to get your mind just geared towards that, just imagine the perfection of beauty sitting right before us. And as he's sitting there, the Bible says, and he shined forth. And as he's shining forth, you could just see the sky just bleeding with just dazzling light that you would never imagine. All these different lights and sparks and just explosions are just coming out from God's presence. And as he's there, it says that God shall not keep silent. Because for millenniums, he's been keeping silent through all the things that we've been doing. He kept silent. When he watched Abel get hit in the head by his own brother. He kept silent. He kept silent when he saw all the wars that's been going on, all the destruction, all the famine, all the rape, all the murder, all those things, he saw it. Now, she's watching it by the millions and by the billions every single day. There's a point where he says, enough is enough. And I just imagine as that last bullet goes through the brain of some kid, innocent kid, he says, it is finished. And as you can just see the explosion of just reality just stop right in front of him, I can just see some seraphims just coming around like, he moved. He moved. Gabriel, stop, stop, stop. He just moved. Then, Bible says, at that time of trouble, Michael, shall stand up. And as we watch God stand up, as the angels watch God stand up, the angels watch him and say, hey, where are you going? And I can just see him saying, I'm going to the earth. And as he starts heading towards the earth, man, I can just see all the angels just start making noise. They bring their trumpets. They start blowing to all of the universe. Jesus is going to the earth. Everyone on their stones, he's going to the earth. Get yourself ready. They get their weapons ready. They get their trumpets ready. They get their violins ready. They get whatever they got ready. And they start to get online. And I just see, as the Bible says, that it will be very tempestuous. In other words, it will be like a whirlwind, like an explosion of just angels just going woof, 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 around him. And as they all land before him, as Jesus is just walking towards this open sky of heaven, I can just see the angel says, what next? And then he says, follow me. Yeah. You heard him. Follow him. Gabriel goes, another angel. Until you see like this just inverted vortex just following behind Jesus. And as they just cutting through space and time, as they just making their way through the universe, you know, we're perhaps over here, you know, just trying to survive the, you know, seven last plagues. I mean, the Bible tells us that our bread and water shall be sure, but I mean, we're going to be tested. We're going to feel unsure at some times. We're going to really feel like, man, there ain't no more water to drink because it all turned into blood. Like, you're perhaps looking for more manna, but it stops snowing manna. We're going to be looking for our caves, but, man, the police already found us there. Can't go there no more. And I just see, you know, sometimes I just see it as like a motion picture because God is watching this and he's editing it and he's watching it too. And I just see it too with him. And I can just see some people being stood up by the beast. And then they got their guns ready. And as they're about to take that first shot, you're gone. And I can just see some just get hit. I'm not dead. Why is this bullet still on my forehead? Why is this bullet still on my forehead? And as they keep on going, pa, 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 pa. Why are these bullets falling off? What is wrong with my skin? Feels a little rough. And you begin to see the ground shake. You begin to see things levitate left and right. And then you begin to hear things in the sky. Like, what is that sound? Don't you hear that? And the wicked, they won't be able to understand it. Because they will say, I don't know. I don't want to hear it. It sounds like thunder. And then you would know it's not thunder. It sounds like the voice. It sounds like the voice of the Son of God. How do I know? Because I've been following him, and I know my shepherd. And they say, I don't want to be here no more because I'm a wolf, and we know what the shepherd does to the wolf. And they begin to run. And you know, the Bible says this. Actually, the Bible says that Jesus will come in a cloud. He said this to the Pharisees, and, you know, the Pharisees, they got so mad when he said this. They tore their garments because he said, you will see the Son of God coming down in the clouds. And that's why I actually put these clouds up there. Because I'm actually proud of my clouds, man. I'm like, I keep looking at it. I'm like, this is some sick clouds. But anyway, they just look nice. But anyway, but when you see Jesus' clouds, it's going to be this uniqueness to it. See, this person named E.G., she says that the sign of the Son of Man is that you will see this small black cloud in the size of a man's fist in the middle of the sky. And I read that. I'm like, that's strange. Like, black? Like, you would think he would come in a white cloud, not black. And I'm thinking, well, maybe black power. I don't know. But I'm like, nah, it's probably not that. I mean, then I'm reading. And I found where she, where perhaps she got that from. And, you know, there's a story in the story of Elisha when he, you know, he fought the Baal prophets and, you know, he made it stop raining for 3 years and a half. And then when he defeated the Baal prophets, Ahab, you know, he said, you know, he ran away. And then Elisha, he just went to the coast and began to pray. And he prayed about seven times. And as he was praying there, on the seventh time, he saw this cloud coming as the size of a man's fist. That's what the Bible says, the size of a man's fist. And you can assume that it was black because it was filled with so much rain. Like, God was holding back so much rain that it was black, like how we see, like, dark clouds. So he saw this perhaps dark cloud coming, and then he told, you know, Ahab to begin to run and get his horses ready and head out because it's going to be a, you know, whole bunch of showers. So in the same way, Jesus comes in a cloud, a small black cloud, but it still doesn't answer why is it black. See, get this. This just blew my mind when I learned about this. Jesus will be coming through space with all of his angels. So many, it will be dense. But he will be coming so fast, that it will take time for light to catch up to him. Y'all don't know. It will take time for light to catch up to him. So you would just, as we're there, just on earth, next thing you just see this black spot. And light would just seem to bend around it. The stars would just go. What's going on with the clouds? What's that? And then the clouds would just disappear. And you know, Jesus, he's up in heaven. He's up in the sky. You know, I can just see him just going. You know, and then all the angels, they're coming up and they stop. Ooh. Hey, Jesus, why'd you stop? Look at yourself. Oh, I'm black. Then, next thing you know, we see all the light just come out of nowhere. Boom! Light just explodes in our face, and then we will see angels ricocheting left and right. Left and right, and we would just be seeing all these angels, and we're like, whoa, whoa. And you begin to feel your change, because the Bible says that, hey, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This mortal will put on immortality, and this corruption will put on incorruptible. Then we shall say to death, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? And I can just see it. I can just see as my blood is just, there's like this Holy Ghost blood transfusion, because the Bible says that flesh and blood should not inherit the kingdom of God. So he has to change my blood from the inside out. And I begin to see myself glow, because the Bible says in Daniel chapter 12 that they that lead people to righteousness, they shall shine forth as the firmament. So we begin to glow. And as we're glowing, we start to see ourselves and say, oh, sweat. And I know with my 21st century mind, I'd be like, oh, Jesus, I'm a super Saiyan. Y'all don't know nothing about that. But y'all don't know nothing. How do you know about that? But anyway, I'd be like, oh, man, I'm glowing. Woo, woo, man. And I'd be checking out my legs and so on. I'm like, man, this is another thing. I'm on another level. And then you begin, where you come from? Were you here the whole time? What's up? What's up? My angels? Oh, I get to see you now. Oh, he changed my eyes. Now I can see. But why you still got glasses, though? But anyway. Telescope. It's telescope. He needs to see across the galaxy now and then. But, you know, I'm like, man, so let's, I see these angels just going left and up. They just gunning across the sky. I want to do that too. Come on. Let me see how fast these legs can go. So I can just see some angels. They're trying to encourage me. And, you know, we see some people, you know, resurrecting. I'm like, ho. I thought that person going to hell. But praise God, he's coming. So we see, why he running? Anyway, then, did you hear that?
Of course I heard it.
That's my cat. God resurrected my cat. It's flying. Oh my, I told them that God loves my cat too. Anyway, and I see my mom and my grandma flying up to the heaven, and I'm like, we gotta catch up. She can't beat me.
Let's go.
Come on. So we begin to run. And as we're running, I'm like, oh, this is nothing. We can go faster than this. We're only going 100 miles per hour. And then we go 200. This ain't nothing. I'm just jogging. Then we go 300, 400, 500, 600, 700. Then it happens. Sonic, boom. Take one step and shoot up into glory. Boom. See y'all. As we're ascending up to heaven, going higher and higher and higher, you know, you know, I can just imagine as we get so high, like to the point, I can imagine some people getting scared because they hit the ceiling and hit space. They're like, oh no, we're going to die. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I don't have to breathe. My blood don't need breath anymore. I don't have blood anymore. I don't need it. I have eternal life. I can go anywhere now with Jesus. I can safely go. So with this body. So then we see Jesus up in heaven. And as the Bible says, that the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Then, you know, the Bible tells us that he will take us to where he is, and where he is right now is in heaven. So, you know, he's going to take us to heaven, and I can just see him say, follow me. Of course I'm going to follow him. Don't want to get lost in space. So we follow him, and we're gunning through the space, and as we're going through space and so on, you know, we're going to see saints, you know, people who we never think we'll make it there. I mean, we see some people who are lost, that we thought was lost and now saved. Then, you know, we would see, whoa. This is the first time I met an antediluvian. Whoa, you mad tall. Dang. These are some tall people, creatures up here. Man. Whew, you tall. So, what's your name? Oh, your name is, okay. Blakon? Okay. So who's the person you were, like, you know, serving? Oh, you're serving a guy named, oh, Blake. Okay. No, well, nice to meet you, man. Nice to meet you. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to see some angels there that's huge. And because the Bible tells us that God, he made us a little lower than the angels. So these guys are like huge. I mean, they're tall. That's why the Bible says that whenever an angel shows up, that all the angels will have to tell them, fear not, you know, don't be scared. Because, I mean, you see this 10-foot guy just show up out of nowhere. You're like, whoa, you know, because they're just so intimidating. So, you know, we see these angels there and so on, and as we're getting there, eventually come across the gates, and we'll see Jesus introduce us to the kingdom of heaven, and then he will say, welcome into the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world, or in other words, the beginning of the world. And as you walk into the kingdom and so on, you're watching and you're marching and you see people. You know that scripture that says, and now the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them. So we will see God just walking and hanging out with us. We don't have to like pray and like close our eye and try to imagine or just try to not be distracted because we just want to feel and see Jesus. No, we just open our eyes and see him and talk to him face to face. Like Moses spoke to him face to face. So, I could just be walking and singing like, oh, God, what brings you here? Oh, what's up, man? Why are you like sitting so much? Do you need to sit? Cool, well, praise the Lord. Well, man, I have this question. Like, I thought my brother was going to be saved. Is there a reason why he's lost? Like, I just need some understanding. Why? Well, I have all eternity to ask you these questions, but you can just sit right here. I'll be under your feet. I'll just be under your feet. But can you explain to me why you gave your son for me? I mean, I don't understand it. Like, no matter how much you explain it, there's more questions that come up. Why? Why did you look past all the worlds and how did you just see me? You found us. Why'd you do that? And see, the Bible says this. We go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And it says, and he showed me a river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore the 12 fruits, which each tree yielded its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead, and there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So we will have the tree of life there, and the tree of life will be so huge that it will say that it's from one side of the river to the other side. Now God, when he does stuff, he doesn't like do it small. I mean, he does things big. Now just imagine how big that river is. I mean, like, there's some man-made lakes, and they're pretty big. There's some man-made rivers, and they're pretty big. But God's river, probably big as an ocean. And we're not talking about the size of how things are comparatively on earth. I mean, on earth, he gave us this little small marble. But in heaven, size is irrelevant. I mean, they have all the space they need. Like, the universe. So I can just see this huge river just going miles, perhaps just thousands of miles wide. And this tree so fat, so round, I mean, it's just so round, that it's just, as you just see it go up, 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 you see it connects across the other states. And it's so huge. And it says the tree, it gives fruit it gives like a new fruit every month. Now, I can just see myself eating the fruit, just biting this. Man, this is better than sex. Oh my goodness, this is good. Oh my goodness. What? What? And the reason why I bring that out is because, Some people, I've heard this. Look, listen to this as you guys are trying to get over what I just said. Some people ignorantly have told themselves, if there's not going to be any sex in heaven, I don't want to go. I've heard people say that, and people think that way. They think, oh, man, I got to get some before I, you know, Jesus come. You know, I got to get married. You know, they think that way. And they think that pleasure is only in that. When God, it's irrelevant. Like, he can take the neurons and all the things that create the thought of pleasure in our brains and move it somewhere else. He can just put it in the grape. He can put it anywhere he wants. It doesn't matter. He can make it last as long as he wants. I mean, the original purpose for it was for us, you know, to have children and to highlight the joy of actually, you know, creating and, you know, taking part in the act of creating. And because, you know, if there was no pleasure in it, some people wouldn't have kids at all. You know, this earth would have been depopulated and gone already. But anyway, some people have thought that and they think, man, this ain't going to be no pleasure in heaven no more. But Jesus says, or the Bible says in Psalms, that in his right hands are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Like, we can't be thinking so one-dimensional when it comes to pleasure and joy with God. So, you know, he can just drop down fruits of experiences, and we can taste and see that the Lord is good. And then another thing, it says that that the leaves are for the healing of the nations. The healings of the nations. Now, you know, I had some people, you know, try to convince me. No, man. These leaves are weed. It's weed. It's marijuana. I'm like, no, it's not. And it's not. It's, excuse me for my accent. But anyway. See, the reason why the leaves are for the healing of the nations is because of sin and because of the issue of just fighting against each other, the nations have been broken up, been wounded, been damaged, racism left and right, just battle wounds on one country and another country. One person hates the other person because of what his grandfather did and what they did to this land and so on, and just wars all around the world. But eventually, as we all get to heaven and we stand before, you know, God and stand before the throne, we're going to see all cultures, all nations under that tree, like it's a Christmas tree. And we're all going to be happy for that one gift, Jesus Christ. And, you know, I can just see some people saying, Is that him? Yeah, that's him. Let me get some stats on him real quick. So he goes to the angels. Hey, can I check out your that thing? On Earth they call it iPads, but let me see it. Just your imaginary one. Okay. That's him. Hey. You used to be my slave master. What you doing here? Wasn't you the one that tied a rope around my neck? Yeah. Is there a mistake? Why is he here? Because the last thing I remember is just going, and I saw his face. Then, please explain, how did you get here? How did you get here? Then all he can say is, nothing but the blood of Jesus. He can say, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that God can say, man, oh, same thing for me. And then someone can be pointing out to him, hey, huh? Wasn't you that guy that sold me? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yes, sir. My answer is his answer. And another person can point, wasn't you that guy? My sins are gone. I've been set free. You see, everyone can say, hey, well, praise the Lord, I have the same thing in common. We all been paid. We all have gotten here because of what Jesus has done. And we all can be friends. There'll be no more racism. There'll be no more feuds or just one nation against the other nation and one culture against the other culture. We'd be under one Jesus culture. Yeah. Besides, in heaven, like, we can't afford to be racist because, I mean, see, the Bible talks about these weird creatures like lion, a beast with, as a lion, and he has eyes all over his body and this and that, and I mean, and eyes all over his wings, and one of the beasts is an eagle, and all types of creatures, a cherubim with four faces, and I mean, there's going to be so many strange, as we would call it, aliens there that we can't afford to even think that one is less than the other. So we're going to see some creatures that look so weird that we're going to think, man, I don't know. If I was my old self, I wouldn't like you if I just saw you. But I'm a new person. And I don't look on the outward appearance, but I look into the heart. And since God made you, you're beautiful. So the Bible continues to go there. And see, when we're in that city, the Bible tells us that the city is like 12,000 furlongs wide and 12,000 furlongs long. And then also 12,000 furlongs high. And if you were to translate that in conservative estimates, it would be 345 miles wide and also high. So, when the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 that John, he saw the New Jerusalem come down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, he sees this huge city come down, but as it lands, it's still so high. 345 miles high is where the satellites are still are. Like, satellites are still just kind of orbiting. That's how high it is. So we can be in California, and the city has landed in New York, and we will still see the city high up in the sky. And can you just imagine how worship is going to be? How we're just going to go out, be flying around, and then we're going to say, you know what? I just want to go up to the throne and just talk to Jesus. You know, and then you can sing every song that you always wanted to sing. Take me to the king and be for real. And then head up to the king. You fly up, go through this sonic racetrack up to heaven, up to the skies. And as the Bible says, you know, the Lord is the most high God. He's going to be sitting above everything, above the earth. And as he's there, illuminating everything, you can sit there, just go by his feet and say, Lord, I saw this weird creature. It had like 12 faces and it would metamorph. And what is that? And then you ask them all these questions. They say, okay, praise the Lord, have worship. And then you say, oh, yo, Cedron, hey, you want to have potluck down in Tabron's place? Or, yeah, Tabron's place? Man, we got to go down. Hey, you want to come too? All right, let's go. So then we jump. Then next thing you know it, fire begin to wrap around us. Me, like my old self, try to get a brush. Then we begin to run down the walls of the city. And as we're running down the walls of the city, we land and it says, whoo, man, whoo, that was a good jump.
Where's the grub?
Yeah, we got to eat. Oh, man, I can't wait. And then get this crazy part. See, it just left my mind, but I'm going to just say it from heart. Because Jesus says that that what he's going to do, he's going to tell us to come in. There'll be people coming from the east and from the west around the world, sitting next to Abraham. And then it says that, and the Son shall serve them, like God is going to serve us food. Now imagine that. We're going to have this amazing potluck with Jesus. And then Jesus is going to be there, and he's going to serve us. Like, literally be, like, our waiter. Say, hey, you need me to, hey, can you want that? Okay, yeah, man. Here, check this bread out, man. This bread is the best. And for once, I can finally say, Jesus, can you please pass the jelly? And he's going to pass it with his own telekinesis mind. Yeah, sure. Pass it towards me. Says, you know what? That's about, like, about 3 million years old. Let me give you a new one. Recreates jelly right there. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, mercy, again. This is the best. I don't know. I just can't remember anything better. But every time I just think about you and what you've done, I just keep saying that you are so good. And we will eat where God will continue to nourish us forevermore. Now, all that was made possible by what Jesus had done for us. The Bible says this. I'm going to begin to close out. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, chapter 2, verse 6, and it says, and raise us up. Let me go back up. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Let me stop right there. He did all this stuff. He died on the cross for us. He rose again for us. He's coming back for us. And he's going to take us up to heaven with him. And it says that in the ages to come, he may show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. So basically, God, all he wants to do is just be kind to us. Constantly just be kind. More kind and more kind. So we're in heaven. Jesus says, hey, you want this pencil? I know you like to draw. Well, yeah, sure. Thank you. Take the pencil, and he comes back a moment later. Hey, you know, I saw what you were drawing, like, you know, some type of, you know, heavenly car. I actually made a car for you. Do you want it? Yeah, sure. Thank you, Jesus. You're so polite. Next thing you know, hey, you know, you need a place to drive that car. And I want to make some tracks. Actually, I just made it. I was thinking about it, and I just made it. You want that racetrack for you? But yeah. Look, thank you. Well, you know what? That racetrack, it needs some mountains, and it needs a continent. And you know what? Let me just make another planet just for that purpose. All right, Jesus, I think you're doing a lot. You're doing too much. No. This is nothing. Come on, here, boom. Where at? Just a couple miles away down there. Okay, Jesus, thank you. You know what? That planet, I need to decorate the stars a little bit more. I want to make like four stars, more like a couple, like four planets. Should I put like four suns out there? Make a blue one. And an orange one, your favorite color. Okay. Boom. Oh, whoa, Jesus, come on. This is a bit astronomical. Your grace is just a little too far out there. Well, no, 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 this is nothing. This is nothing, man. I give you more. Well, how much more can you get? You know what? I know you like to, like, play music while you're driving. Got an idea. I'm going to make this Galaxy a CD player. And wherever you go, it's going to play music. And I'm just going to DJ it. And you're just going to have fun. And you can bring everyone to this Galaxy. And we all can have a house party. And then we can just have fun. And you can be driving. And you can make up your own music video. And then you can do so many things. And you can make another movie. And then you can make another movie. This player, Jesus, part 2 and part 3. And then I'm like, Jesus, 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 you're just being so nice. And then he says, what? How much more? I can give you more. In fact, I've given you everything. I died on the cross for you. Don't you see my hands? And as you see his hands, you remember, like, oh my goodness. God so loved the world that he gave everything. Eventually, a million years go by. And the Bible says that we will forget things of the past, because they have come to pass. They just passed away. And, you know, I can just see myself, you know, just deciding to go up and hang out with Jesus again. And, you know, my favorite part about being in church as a kid would be, I mean, just laying next to my mom. I just love doing that, because I just felt so cool. I felt so secure. I felt safe. You know, if zombies just came up in the church, my mom got me. You know, I'll just think that way. And, you know, I'll be just sleeping, and I'm just listening to her heartbeat, and I'll hear, cook. And, you know, I'll just be like, oh, man, that's cool. Then I'll lay down on her lap and hear her stomach. Now I'll hear, and, you know, I would just sit there and just, because, I mean, church was just too boring. I didn't understand the pastor or what he was talking about. Like, what are you yelling at people for? But I would just see him doing that. And it's funny, I'm doing that now. And train up a child the way he should go, even when he doesn't know he's being trained. And so I'm just there, and I would just do something silly, like play with his hands, with my mom's hands. And I'm just playing with her hands, and I would see her giant hands and my small hands, and I'll say, Mommy, look at your lines. They're different from mine. Look at your hands. Look at my hands. Hey, I got these lines. You see? It looks like a face here. Oh, why are your hands so different? They're so rough. They're so big. What's this over here? You know, eventually, one day, we're going to be in God's arms, and we'll be able to listen to God, and we can hear him go, God, what is that sound? What's that beat? Oh, that's my human heart. Human heart? What do you mean, the human heart? Well, became a man. It's interesting. A man. Is that what I am again? Yeah, you were originally a man. Oh, okay. God, why are your hands different from mine? What is those scars in your hands? What is that? And you look at his hands, they have holes in them. Look, put my hands through that. Then Jesus will say, oh, I got these scars from a friend's house. As it says in Zechariah chapter 13, these hands got them from being at my friend's house. And as the Bible says, there is no greater love than a man who lays down his life for his friends. Now, Jesus is calling us all to come to heaven as I close out. He wants us all to stand before him in his glory. And one day, Jesus will come back. He's only coming back for those who want him to come, who are looking for his appearance. And if you want Jesus to come back, if you love Jesus, you're not ashamed, I want you guys to stand up. I know you guys are beginning to fall asleep. I can see. I'm not a blind pastor. If you want Jesus to come back and you want to be ready for his return, I want you guys to stand up. Because Jesus, he will come. And he's going to take those who love him and love his appearance. But very soon, he's going to sift the wheat from the tares. God, he knows who is his own. And right now, you may not be his child. You may not even know Jesus personally. But you actually want to be with Jesus. You want to follow him. You want to stand before his throne and live forever. If you haven't given your life to Christ today or ever, I want you to come down. There is no shame in giving your life to Christ. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before all the holy angels. And if you want to give your life today to Christ, come forth. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, Jesus will accept you. He says that in no wise he will cast anyone out. He tells the little children to come unto him. For this is the kingdom of God. And if you are mature in age, doesn't matter how old, and you haven't given your life to Christ, come forth. Because as you come, you will lead those who are going to be your age to Christ as well. You know, I was so encouraged as I was talking to Sister Wilson yesterday. We were talking about the GC. And she said, you know, hopefully this is the last GC. Jesus is coming, that's why. And when she said that, I just jumped out like, woo! Praise God. You know why? Because there are very few who hold that faith anymore at the mature age. And if you want to give your life to Christ today, come forth. Come forth. Doesn't matter how old or how young you are, Jesus will accept you for who you are. Jesus is coming. Now, I know there's a battle going on for your souls. And the devil don't want you to go there, go to heaven, because he's not going there. If you want to give your life to Christ today, come down. There's no shame in giving your life to Christ. He rose again, that's love. That's love. That's love.
We're going to pray one more time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for giving your son for us. We're unworthy. We don't deserve heaven, but we thank you that you made heaven cheap enough. Lord, I want to appeal to everyone else again. If you want to revive your spiritual life again, and you want to get closer to Christ, as you're supposed to be, I want you to raise your hands. I want you to raise your hands. Jesus is going to make every effort to bring you back to where you're supposed to be. You haven't been in church for a while, and you want to come back and stay with it, because this is the boat that's going to get us to heaven. Not necessarily the people, not necessarily the building, but the fact that you're doing what Christ called you to do. You're following Jesus. If God is leading you here and you want to just revive your spirit again, just raise your hands. Father in heaven, Lord, I'm going to close. I just thank you, Lord, for this week of prayer. And Lord, I believe that your word will not return unto you void. So it's going to bring forth fruit. And it's not about me, because Lord, you know I'm not good. But we do this, we come here because you are good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We can't wait to taste the fruit in heaven and taste and see that you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.